A woman who describes herself as a former prostitute is standing on the sidewalk on Lower Blue Hill Avenue just outside of the organization she now works for, Women Affecting Change, which helps prostituted women get back on their feet.
People on Blue Hill Ave buy sex. But instead of arresting the women, you need to get them jobs from riding up and down the street. That's what it irks me so bad, that you arrest the women, but you do nothing to the guy that's buying the sex.
Massachusetts has tried, but with limited success. In 2011, the state passed a law to not only protect victims of sex trafficking, but to increase penalties for people who pay for sex. But an investigation by the New England Center for Investigative Reporting finds this tough talk has had limited impact. Scores of men have been arrested, but few are convicted or fined. Groups trying to stop sex trafficking believe society looks differently at men buying sex from women who are selling their bodies. At a news conference in August, Boston Police Superintendent Daniel Linsky pointed to a new direction.
Law enforcement must shift attention from criminalizing the actions of the victims and commit to eradicating the demand with an aggressive police action.
Yet, after the Boston Police Human Trafficking Unit apprehended six men in downtown Boston last year for allegedly soliciting underage girls, not one has spent any time behind bars. The arrests were trumpeted in a press release from the Suffolk County DA's office, with emphasis on the efficacy of the new anti-trafficking statute, which increased minimum fines up to $1,000 and 5 years jail time for individuals who try to purchase sex from minors online. But 2 years after enactment of the law, prostituted women and girls are still paying a greater price in the courts than their customers. It's important to point out, however, that some of the arrested men were first-time offenders, and that usually results in more lenient sentences. But anti-trafficking experts argue that prostituted women arrested for the first time statistically are still far more likely to spend time in jail than a John charged with a first-time offense. And it's not just in Boston, says Siddharth Kara, who lectures on human trafficking at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.
One interesting statistic, depending on what state you're in, is you'll see anywhere from 5 to 10 women arrested for breaking a prostitution law for every one male purchaser or John arrested for breaking the same law, purchasing someone or soliciting commercial sex. So there is some asymmetry and bias in the system.
That asymmetry is clear from documents and data examined by the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. It found across the state, from Cape Cod to Pittsfield, that not one of Massachusetts' 11 district attorney's offices could point to a single case where a sex buyer received even the minimum $1,000 fine. As far as jail time, non-existent for so-called Johns since the anti-trafficking law was enacted. It's an issue I raised at a press conference on human trafficking with State Attorney General Martha Coakley.
I'm disappointed to hear that, but I certainly think that the work we're doing with the DAs and with local police departments is going to be important to get that message out. Keep in mind, we are now trying to change the lens after decades, if not centuries, of a focus on that. It's not going to happen overnight. The statute allows for that. We encourage that. And we also know that we need to do training across the state to make sure that that happens.
And it's not for a lack of trying. Sergeant Donna Gavin of the Boston Police Human Trafficking Unit, working with the Family Justice Center, literally works overtime to try to bring charges against Johns.
We've had women that have been horribly abused by the Johns. Recently, there was a woman with a broken jaw. It was a John that did that. So we work with other partners in law enforcement as well as non-governmental organizations to try to keep young women out of the sex trade and to prosecute those that are responsible for exploiting them.
But these efforts are often countermanded by limited resources and lax prosecution of Johns. I'm standing in the lobby of a hotel just outside of Boston. This establishment, according to police sources, experiences a lot of traffic of underage girls who are put here by pimps who use the internet to advertise.
Girls report having exchanged sex 10 to 20 times per night.
Lisa Goldblatt-Grace heads up My Life, My Choice, an organization set up to assist exploited girls in the Boston area.
Pimp comes by, picks up the money. And what it looks like for victims is that they are that much more invisible. You know, we can, as a city, say, oh, we've gotten rid of this problem. I don't see it when I go to the theater on a Saturday night.
And that, says Goldblatt Grace, has reduced the personal risk for Johns. She says new technology has made it that much easier for sex buyers to connect to prostituted minors and women virtually risk-free.
You know, they can do that in the privacy of their home, their car, where as long as you have a smartphone, there's no risk that you're taking when you're sitting on your cell phone, you're making a quick phone call, you're walking through a hotel lobby and into a room. The risk of arrest goes down, the risk of being seen goes down, the risk of it really impacting your life and your family goes down.
And when they are caught, says Audrey Morrissey, a survivor of teenage prostitution, the culture of leniency towards Johns still makes such encounters largely risk-free.
The reality is most of them have sex with young girls because they can. Because they can. Because they can.
Morrissey, associate director of My Life, My Choice, says her point is illustrated by this example.
I remember they did a bust in some town outside of Boston some years ago, and the police chief said, we use the Johns to bust the prostitutes. We let them go because we didn't want to further embarrass them.
An examination of 2012 state and federal data shows that prostituted women are arrested twice as much as the men who purchase their services. Psychologist Melissa Farley surveyed a group of Boston-area men who buy sex and a group that does not. She found that relatively mild penalties seem to encourage sex buyers to carry on business as usual. But when Farley asked Johns,
what was the most effective deterrent?
They told her,
being placed on a sex offender registry. This really takes the glamour out of prostitution to be put on a list of predators along with pedophiles and rapists. Also very effective deterrent was any amount of jail time.
But defense attorneys contacted by WGBH described these responses as extreme. None agreed to be recorded. But one public defender said the policing of prostitution is, quote, overzealous, and condemned what she described as, quote, so-called human trafficking, which is really just simple prostitution trumped up to force a guilty plea out of people, unquote. The attorney described sex offenders as, quote, vulnerable targets, and added that, and again I quote, if you want to see a life unravel before your eyes, represent a person accused of a sex offense. It's truly a harrowing experience, unquote. But Boston City Councilor Ayanna Presley is not sympathetic.
I personally think anyone participating in this life, but especially taking advantage of these very young girls, they should be charged and there should be stiff penalties and consequences. In particular, since many of them are married men living pristine sort of suburban existences. And if there were stricter penalties and consequences, perhaps we could reduce the demand.
Here on Lower Blue Hill Avenue, men drive up and down the street looking to score. It's 30 degrees outside, and one young woman standing at a bus stop in a thin coat approaches my car. A man sitting in a van a block away pays close attention. My guess is that the woman pretending to catch a bus is no older than 17 or 18, but she insists that she's 26.
You are 26 years old?
Yes, I'm 26 years old.
Okay. You don't look 26.
No, but I'm 26. I promise you, I won't lie to you.
Okay. How long have you been at it?
I just got out here. Yeah, I just got out. Can I get in? Because you're like really on the main road. Can I get in so we can talk?
The conversation ends when I reveal I'm a reporter. Two survivors of the underground trade sitting outside say they've seen all types of Johns on this street.
Young teenage boys, older men.
You have guys that's supposed to be working, riding their trucks up and down.
Police officers, correctional officers. You have everybody buying sex. You have everybody buying sex. Trust me when I tell you.
The New England Center for Investigative Reporting found that in Suffolk County, the majority of men arrested on charges of buying sex simply walk away. Of 82 men arrested over the past year, most avoided guilty convictions through dismissals, pretrial probation, and other legal maneuvering. Middlesex Sheriff Peter Katujian says he's frustrated with the status quo.
Yeah, I think that we need to cut off the demand. We need to prosecute Johns for taking advantage of prostituted women. And if we begin to do that in a meaningful way in society, as they're doing in other societies, we might be able to end human trafficking.
But here's the reality. A defense attorney wrote to WGBH News to argue that prostitution should be legalized and to complain that her clients, prostituted girls and women, are still being picked up, prosecuted, and jailed, even as their customers are only being slapped with fines and sometimes being made to watch educational videos on the horrors of pimping and human trafficking. Philip Martin, WGBH News, Boston Public Radio.